Scripture reading this morning will be taken from Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren.
I recently saw some information on the computer chips being manufactured back in 1999. The author was trying to demonstrate some things about computers and the human brain. You might be inclined to think that if you stack a computer on one side and a human brain on the other, obviously a person, that the human brain would be slower than a computer. Surely if a person's brain on average were stacked against 100 computers, or maybe against 1,000 computers, the brain would be much slower. When you go back to 1999 and you look at the computer chips being manufactured at that particular time, 24,000 of the fastest processor chips were needed to equal the processing power of just one human brain. Now, if you think about computers 10 years ago, they were not really all that slow, especially when we compare them to today's standards. When we look at what we're carrying around in our heads, that is the human brain, it is better, it is faster than any human computer on the planet. Even now, today, there is no computer, unless it's buried in some secret government laboratory, there is no computer anywhere in the world, anywhere on our planet, that can match the human brain. Each living and reasonably healthy person has a supercomputer that allows him to process great amounts of information and allows him to calculate all kinds of things at a rate that is just almost beyond amazing. Now, when people have this particular ability, they of course have a power that they may use for good or evil. The author of Proverbs 6 may not have known much about computers, but he did know that human beings have a great mental capacity. He knew that people can think up evil things. It seems the word evil, looking at Proverbs 6, verse 18, or the word wicked in some translations, is a word that has at its root meaning the idea of pant. Or, stated another way, he's talking about things that require exertion. In other words, the writer does not envision someone who thinks about evil from time to time, but rather this type of individual is bent on doing what's wrong. He lives for what's wrong. He thinks, he concentrates. It's like a computer that's processing things at a very fast rate. He spends a lot of time, he spends a lot of his life, he uses a lot of energy to think about evil. Well, now, if that's the general thought, it could be applied in a lot of different ways, because people do use a lot of energy to make evil plans, evil purposes, to fulfill evil desires. I'm going to give this morning what I think is probably the best illustration of this, and then we may use some additional illustrations or have some additional applications in future Sundays. But as I think about Proverbs 6, verse 18, to me what really stands out is the subject of pornography. People use their minds, the abilities that God has given them, to produce this particular product. Pornography is a word that is based upon two Greek words. There is a word which means prostitute. That's at the beginning of the word. The end of the word pornography is based on the Greek word for writing. The full idea, when you combine both words, it would be writing, pictures, or something else designed or purpose. The intent is to create or arouse sexual desire. A fuller definition is this: pornography is any medium, words, pictures, videos, drawings, people, anything that represents the illicit or immoral expression and is intended to arouse in a person illicit or immoral sexual feelings or responses. Well, between those two definitions, that I think pretty much covers it. Pornography is an industry throughout the world. It is a big industry, and it involves evil imaginations in the human heart. There is a problem, of course, with the person's heart who produces this material. There is a problem with the person's heart who distributes this material. There is a problem with the person's heart who participates in this material, that is, the photograph for it. And there is a heart problem with the people who buy this material. This past week, as I was going back and looking at some information on this particular topic, I saw a statistic that astounded me. I knew it was high, but I did not suspect it was this high. One estimate is that 60% of all daily internet or web traffic is related to pornography. It is a huge problem. One author wrote a book with this title, Porn Nation, speaking of America, Conquering America's Number One Addiction. When you look at some of the information that is related to this particular topic, you find that that was an apt title for this particular book. Pornography is a giant problem, and it is intricately involved with the imagination. In putting together this lesson, I thought about a man from many years ago I met. It was way back when I was in school, and he related one time some information about how he had spent some time in the military. I don't remember which branch it was, but in his early adult years, he did go into the service. He was not a Christian. And he acted like many of the people in the military do act. Pornography was widely available to him, and he made the choice to view it. Apparently, from what he described, he saw quite a bit of it. He said that even though I've now become a Christian, and those years, you know, are behind me, they were, you know, at least a few years ago, I remember him saying that the images that he had seen, they had been burned into his mind. And he, in a class, said, "I want to rid my mind of the things that I've seen, but I can't get rid of that imagery. I saw it, I remember it, and there's just really no good way for me to block out what I remember viewing." He struggled to overcome that, and I've sometimes wondered if, as the years have passed, if he was ever able to completely get that out of his head. Pornography is not only heavily involved with the imagination. In many respects, it is like someone who has a terrible disease. Many studies have shown how people, as they view pornography, they become desensitized. Some, I think, who are here have heard about the boiled frog illustration. A frog is put into a pot of water, and the water is of a decent, it's of a nice temperature, it's comfortable, and the frog is feeling pretty good. But as that frog is in the pot, the person who is there at the stove begins to turn up the heat, little by little. And as the heat is increased, the frog does not mind that gradual increase, because it's gradual. And pretty soon he dies. He is literally cooked to death. We may do the same thing in a bath or shower. We hop in, and let's say that the temperature is 105 degrees, and we think that that's pretty comfortable, and maybe we turn up the knob little by little, and maybe it's 112 or 115 degrees by the time that we finally cease bathing. But you know, if we jumped in at that final temperature, if somebody cranked it up to 120, and we hopped into the shower, we'd say, "Ouch, you know, that's not the temperature that we want to bathe at." But if something is done gradually, if it's done incrementally, people oftentimes are not bothered by it. And oftentimes this is the case with sin. People have become involved with it, and the level of involvement may not be great, but as they get further and further into the process, they find that they have eventually been hooked. With pornography, it's like gambling and some other things. The first time, the person might be shocked. "Oh, wow, I didn't expect that it would be like this." But then comes a second time, and it's not so shocking the second time. And then there's a third time and a fourth time. And after a little while, it does not seem nearly as bad. People feel like they must see it. Pornography will dull the senses, and it can become, and often is, becomes just as addictive as any street drug. With human beings, we have a natural tendency for when we like something, when we have an interest in something, we want to return for more. If we find a place that's good to eat, we like the food. Typically, we will find an occasion to go back. We're inclined to return. When we find something that gives us peace and comfort, typically, as human beings, we want to receive more of it. Some have found pornography to be a titillating experience, so they return for more. They want more and more. Certainly in our culture, in our country, there is a steady stream of pornography. I'm old enough, and I think several others here fall into the same category. I can remember that there was a time when pornography was not as public as it is now. Do you remember the era when those kinds of magazines were behind the counter and somewhat shielded? I can remember when I first started to drive, you pull into the convenience store, and even some of those were new at the time. You pull into the convenience store, you pay for gas, and as you're standing there at the counter, you kind of look, and you can see that the clerk is an area where there are some magazines, and there were magazines with brown wrappers on them. Well, those days are long gone. You just don't see wrappers on those kinds of publications anymore. I suspect that those days may never come back, or if they ever do return, it's not going to be in the near future. We can walk into almost any public bookstore. You can see it at the mall, any place that you go, and they will have that kind of, if you want to use the word literature, that kind of publication, that kind of product. It is openly available. It's certainly on the internet. People are able to send it via cell phone. It's on TV, movies, and sometimes even on some billboards. I went down to Fort Wayne not long ago, and on the trip down there, I noticed a billboard, "Gentlemen's Club" in Fort Wayne. Well, it didn't take a genius to guess what was taking place that particular club. The sign left little to the imagination. Whenever someone puts pornography into the mind, there is going to be a consequence. When something goes into the mind, it's invariably the case that something is going to come out. And what comes out typically with pornography is a desire to do or engage or somehow to be involved with what a person has seen. And that kind of thing has created a slew of problems for a lot of folks. When you look at people who have become involved with pornography, you find examples of people who are no longer happy with their mate. It has left spouses feeling like they're inadequate because they cannot do what their spouse read about or saw. I've known of cases where divorce has resulted from pornography. And some of us may have seen cases where abuse has resulted from pornography. In some cases, people are exposed to violent porn. And they decide, well, hey, that's new, that's different, let's give that a shot. And some people have done that, and more than a few have ended up in prison. Pornography is one of the things that has literally helped put some people behind bars. It is a problem in our world, it's a problem in some congregations, even of the Lord's church, and it is a growing problem. Do you know that there are more hardcore porn outlets in the United States than McDonald's restaurants? It's true. It is also said that our nation, America, is the leading producer of porn. We're a big manufacturer for a lot of things, including pornography. If the figures are right, the porn industry in this country produces 150 new porn, hardcore porn movies every single week. I don't know what the soft porn production rate is, but that's 150 new hardcore porn movies every single week. Now, if you break that down a little bit, that comes out to about 21 new hard porn movies every single day in the U.S. That's what we're producing in this particular country. Now, for that to be accomplished, there have to be hearts that devise evil or wicked imaginations. There's no other possibility. Proverbs 6, verse 18. This is a perfect example of what the writer describes. And God, as he looks at this kind of activity, says, I hate that kind of thing. Proverbs 6 tells us that God hates pornography. He knows what it is, and he tells his people to avoid it. Our leaders often talk about getting things back on track. We need to do that as a country. Might we suggest that we're not going to fare too well as a society if we continue to do the things that God hates? Abortion, as we noted, for 3 or 4 weeks creates a river of innocent blood, and the pornography industry spews out their product. Many Americans are accepting of both practices. God cannot and God will not bless a nation that behaves in this manner. For America, we seem to be headed towards the cliff, and some seem to act as if we can't get there fast enough. Annual sales of adult DVDs and videos now top $4 billion every single year in this country. You know, we have a lot of people that are complaining, well, I've got, you know, difficulty paying for gas, it's expensive, food, it's on the rise, but they can still buy porn. I want you to see, as far as an illustration, see if you can kind of put in a bag or a circle all the following groups, the money that comes from these various places. Rock and roll, all the money that comes from rock and roll in a single year. Plus all the money that comes from country music. Plus all the money that comes from Broadway productions. Plus all the money that comes from theater. Plus all the money that comes from ballet. Plus all the money that comes from jazz. And finally, plus all the money that comes from classical music. Would you believe that the amount of money that comes from all these industries, the total combined industries that I gave, that figure is less than the revenue that comes from pornography every single year? That tells you how common and how popular it is in America. The annual revenue of pornography or from pornography also exceeds the revenue from any single professional sport. It's also said that every night between 9 p.m. and 1 a.m., 250,000 Americans call in for commercial phone sex. 250,000 every single night. Our nation is addicted to porn, and it can't seem to get its fill. One well-known magazine publisher, we've all heard of this particular offers on its website, it said, some free pictures of its models. The information I looked at said that this site gets 5 million hits a day for the free pictures. 5 million hits a day. Now you take that times 7, the number of days in a week, that is 35 million hits on a single web page in a single week. This part of American society is so ingrained, it even has, reputedly has, ties to General Motors. DirecTV I'm told, is a subsidiary of General Motors. People buy an average of spend an average of $200 million per year for pay-per-view sex movies. So some of GM's profit, and that's in the news right now, how much they're making is provided by the sex trade industry. When you look at the motels and the hotels that are scattered throughout this industry, they make literally millions of dollars every single year by the in-home or the in-room pornography movies. Sex sells, and people are buying it left and right in our culture. When we look at this particular topic, we find that there is not a single individual that's immune from it. It has affected healthy people, and it has affected the disabled. It's gotten a hold on people who are young, and it's gotten a hold on people who are old. It affects the married, it affects the single. It's affected the non-religious and the people who profess to be Christianity. Men are certainly susceptible to it. Women often prefer a different form of it, but they're also just as susceptible. God has given us some warnings when it comes to this particular activity, one of which is found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 23. There God said people need to guard their heart. The fellow that I told you about earlier, he probably guarded several things in the military service, but for a while. He did not understand, he did not realize the need to guard his heart. When he finally understood that that was important, it was a little late. It was tough to go back and put the genie back in the box, if you will. Our heart is one of the most important things that we have. It's something that can be affected in a very negative way, and the impact for that can on that heart can last for a long time. What we put into our heart, what we put into the mind, will help form or establish our character. Our heart's also going to be one of the factors that helps us, you know, decide where we're going to spend eternity. Some seem to have the idea that sexual activity starts in the bedroom or in the back of the car. But the Bible says that that's not really the case. Scripture tells us that it begins in the mind. If you turn to Proverbs 6, a scripture reading, I want to move down a little further from where Steve read and look at verse 25. Lust not after her beauty in thy heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. As Solomon thought about this particular subject or this particular topic, he saw a problem with lust. He said things begin in the heart. He pictures here in Proverbs chapter 6 a man who has a burning and very powerful desire for a woman. And that is the very thing that pornography uses to attract people. It's the lure that it uses. It's a product that calls. It's a product that beckons. It is a product that pleads for people to come and take a look. See what we offer. See what's available. And as we noted, that single look usually does not satisfy. People may be shocked or they may have some curiosity satisfied, but then they usually come back for more. Proverbs 5 in the previous chapter, verses 15 through 20, is also an important section of Scripture when we think about this topic. Solomon may not have had pornography in mind, but he does share some important information. He speaks here, and we'll read it in just a minute, of finding a partner and finding fulfillment with that partner. He says that that's the right way to stay on the correct path. Proverbs 5, we'll look at verses 18 through 20. He says, let the fountain be blessed, and rejoice in the wife of thy youth, as a loving hind and as a pleasant doe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished with her love. For why shouldest thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom or of a foreigner, or we might say pornography? If people followed the simple procedure that Solomon gave in verses 18 through 20 of Proverbs 5, pornography would vanish. People would say, we don't have a need for it. We don't have an interest for it because we have our needs met. Marriages would be stronger. Homes would be better. People would be happier, and they'd find satisfaction. If pornography satisfied, people would not be going back to it. The movie industry, the hard porn industry, would not be producing 150 hard porn videos per week. When you look at pornography, and there is just case after case, study after study, and we probably know some folks who've gotten involved with it, it is like a poison. When people expose themselves to this product, they usually start a process. Often someone is tempted to simply see what it's like. Let's go take a look. We've never seen it. And then there is an encounter. There is an experience. And that encounter, that experience can lead to action. And that action can escalate. Desensitization can set in. And then, of course, comes the acting out. Back in John chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus talked about becoming a bondservant to sin. He meant in that particular passage that people can become a slave to sin. Sin can, sin will, and sin does control or enslave people. Now, it's certainly true that not everyone is going to be enslaved by the same sin. But pornography is one of those sins that when people become involved with it, it is like an octopus. It will get them, it will grip them, and it may keep them for life. I've seen it ruin families. I've seen it ruin careers. I've seen it ruin reputations. One incentive for God's people to leave it alone is Proverbs 6, verse 18. God hates this kind of activity. If we've never seen pornography, keep the eyes pure. A time is probably going to come when we're going to be given that opportunity, pass on it. If we have seen it, or if we are seeing it, God says it's time to put it away. He's not pleased by that activity. We want to live a life that is pleasing to God. And that's the question that we want to ponder as we prepare to sing the invitation song. Is that the kind of life that we're trying to live as we go through our day-to-day life? Are we trying to please God? We've made that initial commitment by becoming a Christian. We believe, we've repented, we've done what Jesus said in Luke 13:3, unless we repent, we're going to perish. We've acknowledged that Christ is the Son of God. And then finally, we took that final step to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Acts 2, verse 38, Galatians 3, verse 27, 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21. And now we're trying to live as the Bible describes. If that's not the process that describes our life, we've not yet become a Christian, or we're not really trying to live as the New Testament teaches. And this morning, you'd like to seek help from the people who are here to either begin that journey, or if we can help you correct something in your life, would you let us know how we can help as we stand and sing the selected song?
That are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is a true one, he is a just one, he hath the words of life.
Recently about how the church always needs money, but the article was pointing out how that's actually a good thing, because if the church needs money, then that means that evangelism is being done. There's benevolent works that need to be done. There are mission points that need to be reached. So as God's people, we would expect that the church is going to need money. Today we get this opportunity, again, as we do each week, to participate in the financial needs of this congregation. We all would hope as we bring our gift that we can do it cheerfully. And at this time, we'd like to offer a prayer for the offering. God, we are thankful that as your people, we have many blessings. And as our nation has paused this week for a day of thanksgiving, we pray that you'll help us to point them to a life of thanksgiving. We do know that as your people, we are honored to be able to participate financially in promoting your causes. Pray that you'll be with those who control the disbursement of these funds, that you'll give them wisdom and help their decisions to advance your kingdom. See Jesus, so we pray. Amen.